The Secret Life of Mr. Roos by Håkan Nesser, read by Martin Wenner. Translated from the Swedish by Sarah Death. The towns of Kumlinge and Mardam do not exist in real life, unlike the Romanian writer Mircea Cătărescu, whose work is cited at several points in this book. All my life I have longed to be alone in a place like this. Per Pettersson, Out Stealing Horses. Translated by Anna Bourne. Part 1. Chapter 1. The day before everything changed, Ante Valdemar Roos had a vision. He was walking with his father in a forest. It was autumn and they were holding hands. The sunlight filtered through the lofty crowns of some tall pines. They went along a well-worn path that wound its way between mossy rocks and low, twiggy clumps of lingonberry. The air was clear and bright, with a scent of mushrooms as they passed some spots. He was probably 5 or 6, and could hear birds calling and a dog barking in the distance.
"Here's Gråmyren," said his father. "This is where we usually see the elk."
It was the 1950s. Father was in a leather waistcoat and a checked cap, which he now took off, letting go of his son's hand to wipe his forehead with the arm of his shirt. He took out his pipe and tobacco and started the filling process.
"Look around you, Valdemar, my lad," he said. "Life never gets any better than this."
Never any better than this. He wasn't sure if it had really happened, if it was a genuine memory or just an image floating to the surface of the enigmatic well of the past. A yearning back to something that possibly never existed. On this particular day, more than 50 years later, sitting on a sun-warmed rock beside his car, he shut his eyes and turned his face to the sun. And it wasn't easy to work out what was true and what just seemed to be real. It was August. There were 30 minutes of his lunch hour left. Valdemar's father had died in 1961 when he was a boy of 12. And his memories often had this sort of shimmer of a lost idyll. He tended to think it wouldn't be so very odd if it had never happened. But his father's words had a genuine ring and didn't feel like something he'd invented himself. Life never gets any better than this. And he remembered the cap and the waistcoat vividly. He was 5 years younger than I am now when he died, he thought. He only reached 54. He drained his coffee and got back behind the wheel. He reclined the seat as far as it would go and closed his eyes again. Opened the side window so the warm breeze could reach him. Sleep, he thought. I've got time for a 15-minute nap. Perhaps I'll get another glimpse of that moment in the forest. Or perhaps some other lovely vision. Rigmans Electrical made thermos flasks. When the firm started in the late 50s, and for a decade or so thereafter, its range had comprised a variety of electrical goods such as fans, food processors, and hairdryers. But from the mid-70s onwards, it had produced only flasks. The change was made primarily because the founder, Vilgot Rigman, as good as went up in smoke in a transformer fire in October 1971. That sort of thing can give an electrical company a bad name. People don't easily forget. But the name lived on. There were those who felt Rigmans Electrical had become a recognised brand. The factory was out in Svartö, about 20 kilometres north of Kumlinge,